this is Three Reasons Adam Doesn't Let His Mom Book Them Shows Anymore, an American Idol Season 8 fanfic, which includes crossovers with the fandoms Chronicles of Narnia, The Lord of the Rings, and Batman. Three stories all written by Roga, read by Rena Jenkins, all with the general rating of PG. And it's no name. Part 1. An Unexpected Venue. Adam said. It seemed to sum up the situation pretty well. The situation being his complete lack of any idea where they were, why, and what to do from here. Adam, Tommy said tightly. So this is weird, Adam added, attempting to break the tension. Judging by his band's frozen stares, it wasn't really working. Adam felt a chill run through his spine. Although, on second thought, that might have been caused by the 3 feet of snow they were wading in. And the snow on the trees. And the snow on the stones. And the snow on the wooden platform, which was apparently supposed to be their stage. Adam knew this because of the plank hammered to one of the corners that said, Stage. Monty cleared his throat. I know I said this last time, but now I swear, Adam, I'm not letting your mom book us any more shows. In my defense, Adam said, when she told me we'd have to go through a wardrobe, I thought she meant wardrobe adjustments. Cam went prodding behind the stage, leaving a thick trail in the snow. There's no place for me to plug in my keys. Monty frowned and joined her. Or my guitar, he confirmed. Tommy hugged his bass closer and gave Adam a dark look. Longinus shrugged and twirled the drumstick. I'm still good to go. Okay, look, I'm sure it's not as bad as it looks, Adam said with forced cheer. It's time to take charge. It's only one show, and we'll spend the night in the... His mom had booked them an inn, and while there did not seem to be one in the area, the stage was stationed in a snowy clearing in the middle of the woods, they could definitely, like, find a cave and cuddle for warmth. Definitely. And snow is good for preserving heat, everyone knew that. We'll spend the night and be back home in the morning, he finished firmly, because confidence was 80% of making things happen. His band were giving him skeptic looks. And we could go acoustic, he said, now with a tinge of desperation. We've done acoustic before. We fucking rock at acoustic. Plus, look, they've already set up chairs. Clearly we're expected. Adam? Cam said. I don't think those are chairs. She swallowed. I think that's our audience. As one, they all peered closer at the, okay, slightly lumpy, oddly shaped stones that Adam had taken for seats, and instead suddenly looked more like stones that used to be alive. And now we've gone from weird to fucking creepy, Adam said. Okay, maybe it's time to just pack up and... Sons of Adam, came a voice from the trees, revealed after a moment to belong to a beautiful woman dressed in a long white gown that would have looked gorgeous on Brad. That was Adam's first thought. His second was that there was something absolutely terrifying about her smile, and that he was never going to let his mom book them another gig, ever! Just Adam, actually, he said nervously. And these aren't my sons. Especially not me, Cam pointed out. But Adam noticed she was trying to hide behind Tommy, who was trying to hide behind her, so her confidence was probably at least partially a front. Adam didn't know whether or not that made him feel better. The woman's eyes widened slightly. "Adam himself," she said, a hint of excitement in her voice. Adam shivered. "This is a most unexpected turn of events." She whistled, something shrill and musical that sliced the midwinter air. A carriage pulled up to a halt almost instantaneously, bells still ringing and echoing in the forest when it stopped moving. The woman climbed in gracefully. "Step inside," she said. It didn't feel like she was leaving too much room for argument. "We have much in store for you." Adam exchanged a long look with his band. Monty was the first one to break, hoisting his guitar and climbing into the carriage. "Adam," Tommy hissed, as he followed Adam inside. "I know, I know." Adam leaned back and closed his eyes. "Seriously, this time. I am not letting my mom near our tour schedule again." Part 2. Melithsog. It really wasn't as bad as it had looked in the first place. So, okay, the show was acoustic again, and Monty's glare had bordered on lethal. But the rolling green meadows and thick forest with its delicate sunbeams flitting through foliage, the steep cliffs abundant with flowing crevices, all in all, pretty much made up for it. Also, everyone's hair was so shiny. Adam was pretty sure there were cartoon hearts in his eyes, and also tiny little winged hair products fluttering around his head. "Adam," Tommy said. He was using that tone of voice again. Adam knew what it meant. "But Tommy," he sighed, "it's so pretty." It was like the trees sparkled. "Yeah," Tommy said, and made a grab for Adam's pitcher. "Whoa, whoa, whoa," Adam said, snatching his hand back protectively. "No need for drastic measures." His ale sloshed a bit in the pitcher, but careful maneuvering kept it all in. Adam looked up at Tommy triumphantly. Tommy rolled his eyes. "The really sad thing," he said, "is that these elves don't even know they don't have to get you drunk to molest you." "They're not getting me drunk to molest me," Adam protested. "They're being polite hosts." "Right. That's why they dressed you in a little black dress that barely covers your ass." "I have a fine ass, and I'm happy to share it with Rivendell, but B, don't be an asshole. It's not a little black dress. It's just a hobbit robe because they were out of big people robes. That is all." Tommy snorted. "They want to get in your hobbit robe." Adam didn't appreciate his tone of voice. "I like my hobbit robe," he declared. "It reminds me of Chris. And I like my ale," he said. "It reminds me of music." "It reminds me of roofies," Tommy said, eyeing the elves on the other side of the clearing suspiciously. "It reminds me of the ocean," Adam said, and closed his eyes. He could almost hear the waves whispering, taste the salt, feel tiny drops of cool spray on the skin of his face. Tommy snapped his fingers in front of Adam's face, and Adam's eyes flew open. He really wanted to go to the ocean. Tommy's scowling expression wasn't very supportive. Tommy would make a really hot, angry elf. "You would make a really hot, angry elf," Adam told him, unable to help himself from reaching forward and touching Tommy's hair. "You should grow your hair out. You'd be like Britney Spears meets Spock. You wouldn't have to be angry, though. Elves are hot even when they aren't angry." "Jesus Christ, what did they put in that drink?" Tommy said, and knocked the pitcher from Adam's hand. The drink spilled on the grass. It sizzled a little. "My ale," Adam said sadly.
"That's it. We're going home."
Tommy grabbed Adam's hand, slung his base over his shoulder, and started marching toward the others. Adam looked over his shoulder at the elves, who looked as distraught as he was.
"But Tommy, wait," he said. Their hair was so shiny, he really wanted to touch it, and maybe rub his face in it a little. "Tommy, I want to stay some more."
Tommy didn't even bother to reply.
"Tommy," he stressed, "I want to stay. I want to go to the ocean. There could be mermaids. I can hear its call."
A day after they got home, Tommy drafted a petition that Adam's entire band, sans Adam, signed unanimously, and emailed it to Adam's mom. It said, "Dear Mrs. Lambert, please stay out of our tour schedule forever. Signed, Adam's Band." When Adam came to practice a week later with sleek blonde extensions reaching halfway down his back, they emailed an addendum.
"Seriously."
Part 3. Do you know what you got into?
Okay, fine,
Cam admitted, with a barely noticeable smile. It's possible that your mom's weird connections actually worked out well this time.
Don't let it get to your head,
Monty grunted, but even he couldn't hide his enthusiasm about their setup. They were playing in one of the biggest arenas Adam had ever seen, with a fucking futuristic sound system and acoustics to die for. The front of the stage was lined with a long, neat row of guitar pedals that Monty and Tommy were eyeing somewhat grudgingly like kids in a candy shop. Longinus' drum set glowed in the dark and had built-in pyrotechnics. And their host to the festivities was about to break a record streak of being crowned world's most eligible bachelor in 3 international magazines for 5 years running. Adam had only gotten to speak to him for a few minutes before the pre-show meet and greet, but there was something promising about his smile, not to mention his offer to show Adam around town after the show. The view from the top of Wayne Tower, he promised, was breathtaking. When they got up on stage, it felt like the entirety of Gotham cheered. It was one of the best shows of Adam's life. He was still riding the post-show high and channeling it into intense after-party flirting, if blatant propositions were even considered flirting these days. Adam had stopped following. When the elegant, ceiling-high glass doors of the ballroom crashed in. Bruce froze beside him.
"I'm here," called a shrill voice, followed a moment later by an explosion of green smoke.
A clown riding a green and purple tractor rolled into the room, broken glass cracking and snapping angrily below its wheels.
"For your entertainment," he exclaimed.
Fireworks erupted from the headlights of his tractor. At least, Adam hoped they were fireworks, because the alternative was bullets. Somehow, he didn't think this was the planned after-party entertainment. He reached out for Bruce to ask what was going on, but Bruce was gone. Instead, he saw movement just past the edge of his vision, something powerful and black, and heard a low growl.
"Stay here." Fuck if Adam was going to hide while the rest of his band were out in the open facing the... what, the killer clown? But then Tommy and Cam and Monty and L'Ingenue were somehow mysteriously thrust in his direction, and with band huddling around him, Adam had absolutely no problem cowering in the corner and staying out of the line of fire. Unfortunately, line of fire wasn't a metaphor, as someone dressed like a giant moth jetpacked in from the skylight and started spraying the tables with a blowtorch. "And it burns, burns, burns," he cackled. "Shut up," Adam said immediately, but his band was already giving him accusing looks. "This is not on me." After a pause, he muttered, "It's on my mom." "Oh, shit, duck," he said, as a stream of ice jetted in the air a foot above their heads. It hit three reporters, who froze and broke to pieces. "On the plus side, it's putting the fire out," L'Ingenue noted. A red-haired woman in a deep green dress and blood-red lipstick slunk toward him and murmured, "He might put the fire out, but I'm going to give you a fever." L'Ingenue backed away just in time, as the woman was kicked back by a small, green-clad man wearing a domino mask that looked like it was made of cardboard. He was clutching a remote control in his hand. "Riddle me this," he said, eyes gleaming. "How many people do you think come to an Adam Lambert concert?" And then a man dressed as a giant bat swooped down from the ceiling and smashed the riddling man to the wall. He made his way back to Adam and the band in a series of drop kicks and backflips. "A lot," he growled when he landed in front of them. "The answer is a lot. Come on, I think it's time for you guys to leave town. Let's get you out of here." "Wait, how do we know we can trust you?" asked Adam. The Batman met Adam's eyes gravely. "I know your mom." Tommy started. "That really doesn't count for me." "For fuck's sake, Tommy," Cam said. "We're going." The next time Adam's mom asked him to book a gig as a favor to one of her LARPing buddies, Adam said no. The end. Well, I've been a wild rover for many years, the year, and I spent all the